Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
It is indeed a privilege to be in the house of God again. Amen. Amongst all the people. Amen. It's good to see Brother Philip. Amen. I'm excited to see you again. Thank you once again for coming to the conference. Definitely appreciate seeing you. Amen. And it's always good to see everybody that loves the Lord. Amen. I thank God when we are a church that we all love God and we are all looking forward to getting closer to Him. And what that means is we have to bring some people that don't know God so they can experience the same things we're experiencing. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to preach tonight. I don't believe I will be wrong, but we'll see what the Lord says. Amen. Amen. I'm going to preach on a simple topic that I believe is simple. Sometimes we talk about it a lot, especially in the Christmas season, but many times we forget that as we go through things. But today we're going to talk about God is with us. Talk to your neighbor real quick. Tell him God is with us. Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for the opportunity to be before your people. I pray to God that today's word will encourage, would instill who we are in you, dear God, that we would hear your word, dear God, and we would be changed, dear God, that we would hear your word, and dear God, that you would move by your spirit, oh God, so we allow your presence to flow. In Jesus' name, somebody say amen. So the reason why I said we hear about this a lot during the Christmas season is because many times we call Jesus Jesus, but his name was Emmanuel, right? Because it says that he promised Emmanuel will be coming, right, Brother Tamron? And when it says Emmanuel, it says, it actually tells you in the Bible, so you don't even have to read that far. It says Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. Amen. Anybody excited that God is with us?
Yes.
See, many times we get so caught up in all these different things. We even call Jesus and not realizing what his name is. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. But it is important for us to know that Emmanuel, God is with us. He sent his son so that he wouldn't, and he did not leave us after he sent his son. That's the great thing. We're going to see that after Jesus was sent, he left his spirit. So his presence was with us. And he says he will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. And as we preach today, some of the things that I really want us to look at is the fact that God is a keeper of his promises. I wish I had somebody that said amen right there. God is a keeper of his promises. See, we couldn't be saved if he didn't keep his promise. All right, we would have been dead in sin, right? Adam and Eve sinned, but he even promised back then that I'm going to send something to conquer the enemy. I'm going to send my son. That was the promise. And Jesus was the fulfillment. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We're going to have to shake it up just a little bit. Let's get going in this. So the promise God made, he continues to keep in us. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Verse 18 through 24, it's not a long chapter. I got three passages we're going to read, and I'm just going to let God flow from those. Amen? But as I was thinking this week, there's been some things that made me think about a few things about God. I was talking to one of my friends, and we're talking about how sometimes we don't keep our word. Right? Do you know anybody that doesn't keep your word, or you haven't kept your word before? Raise your hand if you... Okay, that should be everybody, right? But one of my pet peeves is when somebody tells me they're going to do something and they don't do it. Okay? Now, I'm a pretty good guy. You know, I might forgive you, but if it's crucial, I'm not going to ask you to do it again. Why? Because I've seen you didn't pass the test, right? And so I was talking to one of my friends. He had a situation where he committed to a certain situation for a certain time. And he's like, it's not going the way that I want it to go. And the first thing I said was, did you commit? Because if you committed to something, you need to stick to what you've committed to. Somebody say, stick to your word. Now, where do we get that? We obviously get that from God.
Keep your vows.
Right? Keep your vows. Stick to your word. It's important that we continue to keep our word. Because check this out. Look how this works. As Christians, if we don't keep our word, they think our source doesn't keep his word. Right? Where you, oh yeah, God's word says this. But if you don't believe or you don't keep your word, why are they going to believe your source? Right? See, this is, the Bible says that, or even we say sometimes, we're going to be the only God that some people see. Representation of God. Amen? We're going to be the only representation of God that some people see. So the way that we treat people should reflect how we view God. Amen? Is anybody in here with me? Anybody in here?
Yeah.
Amen. Hallelujah. So we have to keep our word as a reflection of God keeping his word. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's get into this. It says in Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now this is Christ born of Mary. It says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, meaning like engaged, okay? It says, before they came together, this is very important because some people don't believe that Jesus was born of a virgin. And if you don't believe that, Jesus would have been born into sin like all of us. Amen? This is why we sing songs about the Christmas story and Mary having a baby and the Virgin Mary. And that's why that is so important, because if Jesus was born like any of us, he would have been a sinner like all of us. But he was born of the Virgin, right? Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Somebody say the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, meaning a good guy. Somebody say he is a good guy. And not wanting to make her a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. Now, what does that mean? If you were found to be pregnant before you got married, you were stoned, which means you were killed. Now, Joseph, he is like, hey, man, you know, Mary, you're cool. You know, I don't know how that happened. It wasn't me. And I'm going to just be real. If my wife came to me, can we keep this 100% real? If my wife came to me one day before we were married and said, I'm pregnant by the Holy Spirit, I'd be like, what? What are you talking about? Right, that doesn't even happen, right? I mean, we got to think about Joseph. We had the story that Monica wrote, and it's a great story. His gift, right? Amen? And in that story, we kind of talk a little bit about that part, but Mary says to Joseph, I'm having a baby by God. You're like, yeah, right. You sinned. So what Joseph went through shows, first of all, it says he was a just man, and he didn't want her dead. So he was trying to just wash his hands away of the situation. This is too deep for him, right? But it says, but while, somebody say while. While he thought about these things, behold, an angel. Somebody say an angel.
Amen.
See, God, when he keeps his word, he has to confirm his word also. Right? So God doesn't just say, I'm going to do this, and it's not confirmed. Right, that's why when somebody says, God's going to give me, they kind of do these blessings on themselves. God's going to do this for me. God's going to do, I'm all in for blessings, right? But if it's not confirmed by the word of God, it's something they made up, right? A rhema word, as we talked about, did we talk about that this week, Mom?
Yes.
Rhema word. Look at God. He just be putting stuff together. He just put stuff together, right? A rhema word from God must be connected to the Logos word of God, okay? Now, what is Marquis saying? Because rhema and Logos is not like stuff we say. A rhema word is a word that you heard from God for your personal life speaking to you right now. Okay? Everybody got it? Say got it if you got it. I need y'all to talk with me. A rhema word is when you get a word from God that speaks to your situation right now, but if that rhema word does not line up with the written word of God, which is the Logos word, that was not God that spoke that to you. Now, here's the dangerous thing. Somebody say dangerous. Many people are walking around with rhema words that are not from God. They're from themselves. Or even, they can be from the enemy. The Bible says this, that the devil appears as an angel of light. Right? The Bible says that the devil roars around like a lion. The devil tries to do a lot of things like God. So if he tries to do a lot of things like God, wouldn't he try to give you a word that's not from God? I mean, the devil even tried to preach to Jesus. When he's at the mountain, he's like, you know, God's word said this. You should do this. Listen, the devil will use the word of God to manipulate. But God's word, when he speaks the word, is to bring liberty. It's to bring freedom. Amen. Somebody say, God keeps his word. It says, verse 20, but while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary, your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. All right? And then it says, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save the people from their sins. All right? So we got one name right there. Somebody say Jesus.
Jesus.
Now, actually, the real translation is Yehoshua. All right? Yehoshua is Jesus' name. We're going to break that down in just a second. But it says, so all this was done that it might be fulfilled. See, somebody say fulfilled.
Okay.
See, God speaks a word, but he also fulfills his word. That's what makes God powerful. Right? Like I said, have you ever had somebody that just says a lot of stuff? Hey, man, I'm going to do this. And they never come through? Yeah.
Yes.
You're like... And then when they start telling you, hey man, I'll do this, then you're just like, yeah, right, okay, sure. Yeah, I heard that before. But until I see the rubber meet the road, right, until I see something that you said matter, it doesn't matter what you say. Right? But God fulfills his word. So it says, so all that was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name what?
Jesus.
Nope, it says Emmanuel. See, there we go. We get now you guys just gave me the churchy answer, right? Hey, what's the Lord's name? Jesus. No, it says Emmanuel. Why? Because this was going to be something different at this point. Now, God was with the people, but he wasn't among the people like Emmanuel was going to be among them. You guys catch this?
Yes.
So it says, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated, like I said, you don't have to look too far. God is God with us. Somebody say, God with us.
God with us.
All right. Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took to him his wife and did not know her, till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. All right? So, he actually called his name Jesus, Emmanuel, right? This is very important because when we catch what these names actually mean, it makes the whole situation a whole lot different. Because what does Jesus mean? Anybody know?
Salvation. Yeshua is salvation.
Okay. God. Salvation is a nice word. Salvation is a big word for what? What does salvation mean? Come on, somebody help me.
To save.
Thank you. All right. Salvation means saved. His name, Emmanuel, God is with us. And Yehoshua, God saves. That's what God did. He was sent to be with us and to save us. Right? And as we, many times we miss that, even in his name, God is with us. And like I said, we're going to continue to see that his promise doesn't just stop when Jesus died and rose from the dead and we're saved. It continues. Somebody say it continues. He continues to be with us. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, this is where we get the promise. that God is going to send his son, like he said. And I'm just going to read this verse real quick. Isaiah 7:14. And what does it say here? It says, I hear it clicking. I was like, oh, it's coming, it's coming. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. There it goes. Therefore, that means it's going to happen. That's already a powerful word. I don't know about, I'll leave that alone. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. So that was a promise in Isaiah. But if you actually look back, even the people, the Pharisees, asked Jesus for a sign.
Yeah.
They continue to ask, if you're really God, can you prove it to us? Show us a sign. And that was the sign. If they actually read the word of God, that was the first sign. But then he said, oh, wait, look, I'll show you another sign. Just like Jonah was in the well, right? I'm going to be he said, I'm going to be basically dead for 3 days. Then he said, show us another sign. Oh, you see this temple? I'm going to destroy this and rebuild it in 3 days. And they thought he was talking about the building temple. He was talking about his body, right? So he showed them these signs because God doesn't talk, he does. Right? See, even when God spoke things into creation, he didn't just talk, it happened. Right? So he speaks promises and he keeps promises. Amen? I'm not going to be before you too much longer. We're going to go to two more passages that deal with this. But as we go through life, we have to remember that he is already with us. He is with us. As we accept him into our heart, the Bible says he deposits the Holy Spirit inside of us. And when he deposits the Holy Spirit inside of us, the Holy Spirit is with us wherever we go. Now, guess what? The interesting thing is we acknowledge that. Right? Because I can say the Holy Spirit, God is within me, but then I can do whatever I want. And I was listening to a podcast this week they were debating on, is it possible to walk away from salvation? And these guys actually had two different viewpoints on it. But they were basically almost, they were good friends, so they were talking about what they thought the stance was, right? So one of them was like, hey, I believe that salvation cannot be taken from us, right? But the other one was saying, if I don't continue, as the Bible says, I don't continue in my faith, I can be shipwrecked. Right? I can lose this thing. And so they talked about it, and I always have this mindset of it. I say salvation is secure. What God has done is secure, but we have to continue in what God has done. And as we talked about this week, God has to be the beginning of our faith and the end of our faith. Right? We don't say, okay, I got God, now let me do everything in my own strength. No, even in receiving God, now I am living to please God. I'm not just trying to do a whole bunch of good works. I'm not tallying how many good things I've done in life. God, I did that for this person. Guess who I'm doing that for if I start tallying? Myself. And I'm not here to glorify myself. We are here to glorify God our Father. Amen. But it says this. We're going to go to the next passage, Matthew 28:18-20. And this is considered the Great Commission. But in this Great Commission, we got to remember that even when Jesus left, somebody say Jesus left, he promises something.
Amen.
Okay? And it says, and Jesus came and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And catch this, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And then it says, amen. Now, an amen means somebody agreed. Right? But so as God has given us the authority, he's also given us himself.
Yeah.
Now, what does he mean that he's with us? Because obviously, we don't see Jesus sitting right here in his chair right here. Is that shocking to anybody? Jesus is not sitting right there in his chair. So what does it mean that he is with us?
Huh? Right in
us. He's within us. Okay? But see, sometimes we miss it because when I'm going through a whole bunch of things, we say, God, where are you? At least I said that. Has anybody ever said that before?
Yes.
God, I need you right now. It would be great, God, if you showed up. I mean, come on. These are some of the prayers that we pray. Lord, if you could, if it's in your will, I need you, God. I don't know where you are. I feel like I'm by myself. Come on. We say these things, but he says he will never leave us or forsake us. Now, I'm excited because when the Israelites left Egypt, when they crossed the Red Sea, even before they crossed the Red Sea, God was with them in a cloud.
Yeah.
Right? He was with them in a cloud, and it actually said that the cloud separated the Egyptians from the Israelites, which shows another form of how God protects, how God saves. So they go through the Red Sea. We know what happens to the Egyptians. Their army is no more. But even as they are in the wilderness, it says he was with them a cloud by day and a pillar of what?
Fire.
Pillar of fire by night, right? This is interesting. And, you know, I'm not like a scientist or anything like that, but if you're in a desert and you don't have a cloud for 40 years, what's going to happen? You're probably going to die from heat, right? Can we be real? Has anybody been to the Middle East before? All right, I know you guys have been in Africa. It gets pretty hot.
Yeah.
What's the hottest you've ever been in?
92.
Like, that's Celsius, though. Yeah, so 92 Celsius. You can do the math on your phone. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit. But 92 Celsius is up there.
Fahrenheit, Celsius?
And somebody look it up on your phone real quick. We got smartphones. Come on, man. We ain't got to sit here like we don't know what's up.
Yeah, then you got to tell
me.
20 Celsius is 70.
Yeah, so that's hot. 92 degrees Celsius. Come on, give it to me. How much is that? To Fahrenheit. That's over 100. Well, 199. Brother, 199 degrees? Jesus saves. Right? Imagine that. Now, listen. Now, check this out. All right, let's just say even if it's 100, the hottest I've been in is 115. Okay? And that's hot. Now, I don't want to experience, like, I love the heat. I was telling the kids today, what would you rather have, the heat or the winter? Or the summer or the winter? They was like, the winter. I was like, you tripping. I'm taking a summer in a heartbeat.
Right.
Right, and I love the heat. But if it gets too hot, I might be like the kid that said the winter.
Yeah.
But these people walk in a wilderness, the desert wilderness, for 40 years. And guess what? Not only does it get hot in the daytime, it gets cold at nighttime. Right? So God showed them his salvation. And there was also a situation where they did something, and because they did something, they were dying. And like Moses had to erect a cross and put a snake on it. You guys know about that? Why? Because it showed his salvation. And it said, even if you look to this, you will be delivered. Now, that's a very interesting thing, but it shows us the nature of God, that the Bible even says he is not willing that anyone should perish, but that all should have everlasting life if you trust in him. So he's giving us the rope, right? If you ever needed something, you needed help, He's throwing it out there trying to get us. He's trying to save, but we have to accept it. And once we accept it, know that he is with us continuing to save. Amen?
Amen.
He says, I am with you always. Somebody say always.
Always.
Somebody needs to get that in their spirit that God is not leaving you. He's not leaving you when your bills is due and you don't have the money and, you know, we know the story, right? He's not leaving you when things are not going the way that you want them to go, because he keeps his word. He promised that he will not leave you nor forsake you. Last passage that we're going to read is John chapter 14, verse 25 through 28. Now this, Jesus said he was going to stay with us, and this is how he stayed with us. Okay, it says this. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the helper, somebody say the helper.
Helper.
What's the Holy Spirit's job?
Helper.
To help us. To help us know who God is. To help us know God's word. To help us know that he is with us. To help us know that God is with us, and help us know that God is our salvation. That's the Holy Spirit's job. The Bible also says that he will bring to remembrance even scripture that we need for certain situations. That's the helper. We got to tap into that helper. Amen? It says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name. You guys see that? That's the Trinity right there. If anybody ever wanted to see the Trinity in action in the Bible, it shows it right there. Because it says, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus, right? He will teach you all things. This actually says it right here. And bring to you, to bring to your remembrance all things that I have said to you.
Yeah.
And not only that, see, what he leaves is his peace. Right? The Christmas song talks about it. Peace on earth, right?
Yeah.
I can't remember what it is. There's a whole bunch of Christmas songs, right? But one of them says peace on earth, right? Because God brought peace to those who accept him.
Yeah.
Now see, if you, I said this in a song, when you accept the truth, it's a good thing. When you reject the truth, you can't stand the truth, right? That's why some people can't stand Jesus, because they don't want the truth. So what begins to happen is you put up all these barriers. All these, that can't be real. They're so fake. That, you know, they come up with the excuses. That I saw that Christian, quote unquote, he wasn't living a life. I don't want nothing to do with God. That's their excuse. But God said, peace I leave with you. And then he says, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I am going to the Father, and my Father is greater than I. So yes, Jesus did go to heaven, but he left us with his Spirit to comfort, to teach, to bring to remembrance what God is doing. And what we need to remember is Emmanuel. God is with us. As we go through the Christmas season, we need to remember that. And it's not just because Christmas is coming. It's not because, hey, we got the presents and all that, the trees and the candy canes, all that stuff is okay, but we must really show that God is with us. We must show the world, hey, the whole reason why we do this is because God is with us and God has come to save us. Amen? All right, let us go ahead and close in prayer. God, I thank you that you are with us. Thank you, God, that your word says you will never leave nor forsake us. So, God, that you would comfort, you would bring your peace into our lives. So, God, we accept your peace. We accept your joy. We accept your love, God. We accept everything that you bring. But, God, as we go throughout this day, throughout our week, throughout the months, and throughout our lives, allow us to remember that you are with us. In the dark times, you are with us. In the great times, you are with us, oh God, and we thank you for that.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.